whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each applicant shall be introduced, and the Director of Planning and Zoning, Mr. Lang, will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lang, and it will become part of the record. You are not required to read your written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And Mr. Lank, I understand the first hearing is for Mark Derrickson.
That's right. The first application is conditional use number 1831. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a small repair retail gun shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 1.2 acres more or less, lying north of Road 336, also known as Piney Neck Road, 4/10 of a mile west of Route 335A, also known as Adams Road. For the benefit of council, I've just passed down copies of an exhibit booklet which was presented by the applicants on May 17, 2010. The commission during their public hearing on May 27, 2010 heard comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, and the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Mark Derrickson was present with James Fuquay, attorney, and gave testimony. Mr. Fuquay, at the conclusion, presented the commission with revised suggested findings of facts and condition of approval, and the purpose was to correct the operations hours. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1831 for Mark Derrickson for a small retail gun shop based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the project is in a developing area according to the county comprehensive land use plan. Two, this limited use with the conditions with not will and stipulations placed upon it will not adversely impact neighboring properties or traffic in the area. The use as a small retail gun shop will be a benefit to outdoorsmen and residents of this area of Sussex County. Four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, there shall be no more than one unlighted sign on premise, not to exceed 6 square feet in size per side, and one sign on the building not to exceed 4 square feet in size. Two, the 11-by-5-foot-by-15-foot gun shop shall be limited to retail sales of guns, knives, ammunition, and related accessories. Three, the final site plan shall contain a delineated parking plan, and the site itself shall have all parking spaces clearly marked. Four, any and all dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighboring properties. Five, no firearms shall be discharged on the site. Six, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements regarding entrance and roadway improvements associated with the project. Seven, the shop shall contain one outside door for customers and a window, both with deadbolt locks, bars, and alarms. The solid interior door shall also have a deadbolt lock with alarm. The shop shall house a gun safe for storage. Eight, security lights shall be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on any neighboring properties. Nine, the hours of operation shall be limited to 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. 10, the owner and operator shall have all necessary federal and state licensing and permitting required for retail sales of firearms and shall be the only employee. 11, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. And that motion carried 5-0.
Excuse me, Mr. Lank. I thought I heard you read in item 9 that 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday.
Did I say 11?
Yes.
It's 10.
10.
It's 10.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Did you have anything else, Mr. Lank?
I've received no additional agency comments or individual comments to date since the 27th of May.
Okay. Were there any questions by council?
No, I was just glad to see that number 5 there.
And Mr. Willard.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. President, Council, Tim Willard with Fuqua, Urey, and Willard representing the applicants. I have to apologize from the outside. I have some kind of chest cold going on, but I'm going to make it through this. We're just asking that you agree with the Planning Commission for the reasons they stated. And I should add that most of those conditions were ones that we recommended. There might have been a couple that developed at the end of the hearing. This is a conditional use application for a small retail gun shop. It's the application. The applicant is Mark Derrickson and his wife Lisa. This is Mark. This is Lisa. They own a lot right on Piney Neck Road, which is just east of Dagsboro. They have a house there with a garage and a small shed on it. I'm going to be referring to the booklet that I've given you. I hope you all have a copy of it. I think it's the easiest way to go through this. The first tab in there shows exactly where the site is, and as Mr. Lank indicated, this is environmentally sensitive development district, which is a growth district or allows for some mixed use. As you can see, and you'll see it later in the site plan, that the property right to the right of them as you're looking at it is actually the entrance to a larger agricultural property. There's not a house on that particular, it's not a lot, it's an entrance to the larger ag property. To actually see the property, if you haven't been down there, look at tab 2. They build a garage, and if you see in tab 2, the first picture there shows a porch roof and a door and a window, and that's actually where the gun shop would be. And it's relatively small, 11 by 15 feet. In fact, the width of it would be the width, as you'll see from a site plan, of the window and the door there, and then it goes back about 15 feet. Originally, he had planned it to be a little bigger, but he built it smaller. He didn't need all that space. The other pictures on tab 2 show the driveway as well as the parking, and the last pictures show the area, which is largely undeveloped. There's a strip development along that whole lot, some houses, but not mostly developed. And you'll see it, the space is there for 3 parking. Once again, this is environmentally sensitive development district, and your future land use place calls for retail and office uses are appropriate. In tab 3, you'll see that I have the future land use map and that language. Tab 4 is your conditional use language, which you're well aware of. We agree and espouse Planning Commission's conclusion that this is a semi-public use to the extent such a facility can support the hunting industry, which is regulated by DENREC for all kinds of reasons, and it would fit in well in this area. If you look at tab 5, that shows the survey. And that's the property before the garage was actually built. Tab 6 shows the site plan. And that's, I don't believe anybody's here for this project, so I've faced it just to you. But tab 6 is just this.
it shows the house, the three parking spaces, and there's additional parking there for them, but this would be for visitors, and then the shed in the back. Pink area is not really a scale because it shows 30 by 15, but it's actually been built inside there, and it's 11 by 15, so it's somewhat smaller than what it looks like to scale there. Del Dot didn't request a TIS. There's a letter from the neighbor right next door in tab 8. This letter is intended to inform the commission named above that we have no objections to our next door neighbor, Mark Derrison, operating a small retail gun shop from his home on Piney Neck Road in Dagsboro. If more verification is needed, please contact me. In tab 9, you'll see that Mr. Derrickson already has his federal firearm license. That is, he can retail firearms. He also has a business license to do that as well. And he also has a license, which is not necessarily to retail these, to carry a concealed deadly weapon. In other words, he's licensed right now to order guns for individuals and sell them to them. So you are probably aware of your home occupation statute, which allows an individual to operate a business from their home if it's operated by the family member and if it's incidental or secondary to the use of the property. And arguably, he fills both those. He operates it now out of his home. It's incidental to the use. He might have people order a gun and come pick it up. What's required, however, if he's going to keep any inventory at all or stock, is that he get what he's asking for today, which is a conditional use. So he's built this garage, modified it with this 11 by 5 office. Perhaps most importantly are the conditions we've offered, because I'm sure the council's concerned about security. The property will be alarmed. Each door will be deadbolted. Any opening with glass will have bars on it. The property will also be lighted. And fifth, there will be a gun safe in there where guns will be stored, and they will be stored with trigger locks. So with all those security measures and the fact that they live right there on the premises and the fact that it's a condition that just they, the Derricksons, will operate this, we believe that the safety measures are ample to allow this small business. And as noted in the previous record, that the Derricksons anticipate that activity, retail activity, largely will be by appointment. There won't be a lot of traffic here. And so you have the conditions. If I can call Mr. Derrickson up here briefly. I know I'm moving kind of fast, but I know you got a lot on today. Mr. Derrickson, you've heard my representations to council. You've seen the conditions that were recommended by the Planning Commission. Do you agree that those conditions are acceptable to you and that my representations to this council are true and accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Is there anything you would like to add while you have the floor here? They may have questions for you.
I don't really have anything to add. I think you covered it fairly well. I'm Mark Derrickson, Dyckford, Delaware. Any questions you may have, I'll try to answer them for you.
The letter that came in support, was that the next door neighbor?
Where are they?
Okay.
My immediate neighbor, yes.
Okay.
So right after the agricultural entrance there, they're right there?
No, they're over here to my, they will be to my right.
Okay.
Okay, so they're on the other side.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions by council? Mr. Lang.
Just to clarify, Mr. Weller stated that most, excuse me, as similar cold is, but they get it from the same place.
I hope not.
The conditions that were referenced, we had 11, Mr. Weller had submitted less. Number 1, 2, 7, 8, 9, and 10 were the conditions they submitted, and the commission added the others. To clarify, are you operating this business on your own, or is your wife also operating?
The license is solely in my name.
In your name?
So I will be the principal of this business, yes.
Okay.
I was
a little concerned about number 10, because it said the owner and operator shall have all necessary federal and state licensing and permitting required for retail sales of firearms, and shall be the only employee. I didn't know if she would be working in there with you or what, just to make it easier.
No. We had considered that. The way that I understand it, that she could be an employee without additional licensing. She could work as an employee of mine under my license. However, I have to go through the state and get the comp insurance and everything like that, and make them where I have it.
So the way we have it's better for the both of you.
But it still says the owner and operator shall be the only employee, if I understand it.
That's fine. He actually is the owner, of the property and the owner of the business also.
So that's all right then.
Right.
She can be an employee. under this?
The property's solely in my name, ma'am, and at this time, we do, under the license interfering, anticipate my, this is going to be a very small scale operation, and we don't anticipate a lot of people being there knocking the door down, so to speak.
The reason they applied, as Mr. Willard said, is to allow them to store the product and also to display it, because they can't, with their catalog sales approval, because he has a home occupation. It's typically only catalog sales.
Oh, you have a home occupation already?
Somebody orders a gun, they come by, pick it up, and it's all through.
I had that contact with Mr. Lang 15 years ago when I first got the license, and he did grant me that home occupation under stipulation.
Right.
I can only order out of catalog distribution, and that's why I need to relay it to make the business viable to get the extra staff.
Got it.
Any other questions from council? If not, Mr. Willard, do you have anything else?
No, sir.
Is there anyone else here in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, at this time, Mr. President, it's appropriate to close the public hearing on this matter.
Okay, and we will also close the public record if there is no objection. Council, have you any comments?
No.
Read the title, Mr. Moore.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a small retail gun shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 1.2 acres more or less, with the following conditions. Number one, there shall be no more than one unlighted sign on the premises, not to exceed 6 square feet in size per side, and one sign on the building, not to exceed 4 square feet in size. Number two, the 11.5 feet by 15 feet gun shop shall be limited to retail sales of guns, knives, ammunition, and related accessories. Three, the final site plan shall contain a delineated parking plan, and the site itself shall have all parking spaces clearly marked. Four, any and all dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighboring properties. Five, no firearms shall be discharged on the site. Six, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements regarding entrance and roadway improvements associated with the project. Seven, the shop shall contain one outside door for customers and a window, both with deadbolt locks, bars, and alarms. The solid interior door shall also have a deadbolt lock with alarm. The shop shall house a gun safe for storage. Eight, security lights shall be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on any neighboring properties. Nine, hours of operation shall be limited to 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. 10, the owner and operator shall have all necessary federal and state licensing and permitting required for retail sales of firearms and shall be the only employee. 11, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That is it, Mr. President.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance with the conditions.
I'll second.
A motion and a second to adopt conditional use 1831, application of Mark Derrickson with the conditions proffered by Planning and Zoning's recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Ms. Deaver, your vote with the reasons.
I vote yes, with conditions based on the findings of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, on the recommendations of Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, I feel it's made a transition from a home occupation to a conditional use, and I feel it's appropriate with the conditions.
And I vote yes as well with the conditions. It's an appropriate use. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next application is J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company. Mr. Lang?
Yes, this is conditional use number six, or excuse me, change the name. The wrong number. Change zone 1683, the application of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a C1 general commercial district, a B1 neighborhood business district, and an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for land lying north of Road 274, also known as Old Landing Road, across from Road 275A, also known as Airport Road, and to be located on 10.28 acres more or less. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on May 27th, 2010.
Give it the mic.
The Council has in their possession a copy of the exhibit booklet presented by the applicant on May 13th of 2010. The commission received comments from Department of Transportation, Sussex Conservation District, and Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, which are a part of my report. Eugene Byard, attorney and stockholder of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company, was present on behalf of the application and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application. The commission did defer action for further consideration on May 27th. On June 10th of 2010, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval. Change zone 1683 for J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company for a change of zone from C1, B1, and AR1 to CR1 commercial residential based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. The project is located in the environmentally sensitive developing district according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. The property adjoins the Rehoboth Mall to the northeast, lands of BB Medical Center, and approved professional office space, several small commercial properties, and a 6-unit per acre and a 10-unit per acre townhouse project. The site currently has a variety of zoning and classifications, including B1, C1, and AR1. This rezoning will bring the property under a single zoning classification. As part of DLDOT's ongoing plans to create a relief route from Route 24 to Airport Road, the applicant has agreed to donate lands for the construction of the route. This right-of-way area will bisect the property and will require the demolition or removal of several buildings, further reducing the viability of the property for agricultural use. As a result of the surrounding uses and zoning classifications, this change of zone application is an infill rezoning and the CR1 is the appropriate zoning classification. This property is served by Central Water and is within the Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. The proposed CR1 zoning classification is consistent with the purposes of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance and the Comprehensive Land Use Plan by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county, and it will encourage commercial activity where substantial commercial activity exists and continues to grow. The CR1 zoning classification is in character with the surrounding area and is consistent with the trends of development in this area of the Route 1 corridor. Any proposed use of the property will be subject to site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Johnson was absent. And I received no additional agency comments to date since the 27th. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Gentlemen, Ms. Stever, good afternoon. I represent the interests of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company, the applicant in change of zone number 1683, and I have with me Paul Townsend, who is the president of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company. By way of further background information to support this particular application, let me inform you that this property is located on the northwest side of what's called Old Landing Road, opposite its intersection with Airport Road. And I have before you a aerial photo which shows Route 1. This would be towards Rehoboth. Back here, if you can see it, there's the water tower, the state police barracks going back this way. This is the Walmart store. This is the rest of Rehoboth Mall Plaza. There's a pretty exciting liquor store over here, L.L. Bean Shopping Center. And as you can see, this is the Route 1 area. And this particular area right through here is where the BB Medical Center is and is subject to the conditional uses or BD Medical Center. You can also see here a roadway that has been begun but does not quite yet reach the subject property. This parcel that I'm outlining right here is the subject property, and this is Airport Road. As you can see from this particular drawing,
Everything in blue is commercial around it. This is the conditional use areas that have to do with BB Medical Center, more commercial. And our tract of land is actually made up of three separate zoning designations, which includes a C1 site up here, this area which is AR, and this area which is B1, which has an old barn on it that you all may or may not remember. All told, the acreage of this particular tract of land is 10.28 acres with the three separate zoning designations. It's currently used for residential, agricultural, and could be potentially used for some commercial activities. As you can imagine, at this time, given the surrounding real estate development and all the commercial activities, it is no longer useful as a piece of agricultural land. Under the land use plan, this property is in the environmentally sensitive developing district, and under the state strategies map, it is in a level 2 area. It is adjacent to a public highway served by the West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District, and it's also served by public water. There are no delineated wetlands on site, and there are no other site issues that go with this particular property. In the course of this property's ownership by J.G. Townsend, DelDOT has approached it about dedicating a proposed roadway. And Stephen, you may be the only one that remembers the Eli Cooper roads that were the grid roads that were proposed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
They were.
And that road system starts over here.
Phantom roads. Phantom roads.
Right. Yeah. I knew you'd remember that part.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
But the phantom roads go back through here, come around, and ultimately will connect with Airport Road through this property. And this shows BB Medical Center up here, Airport Road here, the proposed right-of-way. This area will be used for stormwater management. As that takes place, obviously, the value of the property's agricultural use becomes even less so. Our client's intention is to dedicate that property to the state of Delaware, let the project be completed. Maybe they'll call it the Phantom Road. I don't know. Maybe they will. Any event. When
made
that's
famous.
Huh?
You made it famous.
We'll go out and cut the ribbon together. How's that? It will be completed as far as at least one of the internal service roads that were contemplated some years ago. There was no persons present. There were no persons present to oppose this application. It's been submitted to DelDOT. They obviously are in favor of it because of the benefits they receive. Office of State Planning Coordination have reviewed this application. They support the application. Planning and Zoning support the application unanimously because of the idea that we are going to do some infilling here and remove an agricultural piece that no longer can be used for that purpose and to create a single zone for this particular area. Gentlemen, Ms. Deaver, that would conclude all the presentation I have except to ask Mr. Townsend to step up and confirm that all of the things I've said on behalf of J.G. Townsend, the applicant, are true and correct, and that you affirm that I got it right.
My name is Paul Townsend, and that is accurate. Everything that Dennis has said is as it is.
We'll take on to how long? You've owned how long? Since the 70s?
This property we've owned since post 97 and pre 2001. I wasn't with the company for a short period of time, and they purchased it then.
I think before that it was owned by Mr. Warrington.
Warrington, right. Okay. I thought I read something about 1970.
Yeah, it was Earl Warrington. Had the application for rezoning to B1.
He's the one that had the barn and the commercial enterprise.
Dennis, why don't you give us some, we've been told over the years that we shouldn't rezone property so it can be sold. I mean, we all have other reasons. Could you go on record, just give us some justification why this rezoning here is appropriate?
The rezoning here is appropriate for two reasons. One of them is, again, it's infilling. It brings it to this particular property designation. It's consistent with all of the various tracts of land that surround it that are already commercial and commercially developed. As you may recall, Mr. Cole, get the map up. This is the property that is Walmart. This big white roof. It is right next door to Walmart, and I think we always use Walmart as the benchmark by way we measure various commercial activities, and you can take Walmart as a word and have it mean whatever you want, but it's next door to a Walmart. The second reason I give you, sir, is that it's no longer compatible with this neighborhood to have it in agricultural use. You just can't do it.
Are there any other questions from council?
No question, just a statement for council. I got to just, Dennis made reference to it. The AR1 zoning has existed since the adoption of the comprehensive zoning map in January 1971. The C1 portion of the property has been existing again since January 71 with the adoption of the comprehensive zoning map. And the rezoning for the B1, which is the triangular-shaped orange piece, was June of 87. Just for informational purposes.
This zoning line represents 600 feet from what was then Route 14.
Right.
And that was the outer boundaries of the Commercial 1 designations when the zoning ordinance was passed.
Do you have anything else to add, Mr. Schrader?
No, sir.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone here to speak in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, Mr. President, I think we should close the public hearing, and it would be appropriate to close the public record.
If there's no objection, okay. What's the pleasure of the council? Any comments before I ask the attorney to move forward? Okay.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a C1 general commercial district, a B1 neighborhood business district, and an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 10.28 acres, more or less.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance. Change the zone.
I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1683 application of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company. Any further discussion? Okay, if not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Yes, and based on the planning and zoning's decision and the 9 reasons they gave for their decision.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, on the recommendation of planning and zoning.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, it's a result of surrounding uses and zoning classifications that will make this property an appropriate infill. And the trends have been towards commercial development in this area.
I vote yes as well with the condition by planning and zoning. It's an appropriate use. Motion carried.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. The next hearings are CB Twin Cedars LLC and Twin Cedars, two of them, Twin Cedars. And Mr. Lank, it was my understanding that at the planning and zoning hearing, both were heard at the same time, although votes would have to be taken separately.
At the commission, it was requested by Stephanie Hansen, attorney on behalf of the applicant, that the two presentation for the two public hearings be held jointly and acknowledge that the decision would be made separately, and that's the way it took place with the commission to date.
And if there's no objection from council, I would recommend that we proceed that way.
Continue, please.
The two applications are change of zone 1668, the application of CB Twin Cedars LLC, an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR general residential district and a C1 general commercial district to a GR RPC general residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying south of Route 382, also known as Route 1, and also known as Zion Church Road, 1,000 feet east of Route 388, also known as Bixler Road, and to be located on 58.55 acres, more or less. The second application being change of zone 1669, also an application of CB Twin Cedars LLC, is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR general residential district and a C1 general commercial district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, land lying south of Route 382, also known as Route 20 and Zion Church Road, 1/4 mile east of Road 388, Bixler Road, to be located on 5.79 acres, more or less. On May 27th of 2010, the applicant provided a large exhibit booklet, which has been provided to the council members for the record. The commission heard comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and the Sussex Conservation District on both applications. We also were advised that the files contain copies of correspondence relating to the PLUS preliminary land use service process from the Office of State Planning Coordination, Landmark Engineering, JCM Environmental, and Crone Incorporated. William David and Karen Simpson, the owners of the Lost Lands RV Park, had submitted a letter of no objection to the project, but asked that the developer make known to their customers and tenants that the Lost Lands RV Park exists to the rear of the property, and that the developers give careful consideration to the drainage on the project, that they hope that the drainage will not adversely affect the RV sites, and that the customers and tenants should be advised that hunting activities exist on the RV park acreage and surrounding land. Excuse me. Roger Black and Jim Gordon of CB Twin Cedars LLC were present with Stephanie Hansen, attorney with Young Conaway, Stargate and Taylor, Scott Aja, professional engineer with McCrone Incorporated, Keith Rudy, professional engineer with Landmark Engineering and JCM Environmental, and Amy's here. Environmental scientist with Landmark Engineering and JCM Environmental. Gave testimony. Now, we also were provided with a petition of five landowners in the area voicing support for the application. And we also, Ms. Hansen provided copies of a statement from Habitat Conservation Division of the United States Department of Commerce referencing the Endangered Species Act, the Fish and Wildlife Coordination Act, and the Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act, which reports that no threatened or endangered species are known to occur within the project area, that no National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration resources of concern occur in the project area, and no essential fish habitat has been designated in the project area. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the applications in reference to changes in 1668. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to defer action on changes in 1668 for further consideration, to leave the record open for 10 days for receipt of plus comments from the Office of State Planning Coordination, and for an additional 10 days for the response for a response to the plus response by the applicants. That motion carried 5-0. In reference to change zone 1669, the motion and second carried unanimously to defer action on change zone 1669 for further consideration and to leave the record open for 10 days for receipt of plus comments from the Office of State Planning Coordination and for an additional 10 days for a response to the plus response by the applicants. And that motion also carried 5-0. To date, I have received no additional comments from any agency or individual, and I believe the 10 days has passed. We haven't heard anything from PLUS yet. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Okay. Any questions? If not, Ms. Hansen.
Good afternoon, Mr. President and members of the council. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak today. My name is Stephanie Hansen. I'm an attorney at Young Conaway, Stargate and Taylor. We actually had two of these set up. One apparently was just going to be for the sole benefit of Mr. MacArthur, who has left us. So now we have both of them for you to take a look at. And as part of this application, too, I wanted to hand out to you, since they are fairly distant, here is a copy, individual copy for you of this first exhibit. There's a lot of information on it.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, I'm representing Twin Cedars LLC. With me tonight are Mr. Roger Black from Twin Cedars. We have Scott Asia from McCrone. We have Keith Rudy from Landmark JCM, and we have Amy Nasdrowitz from Landmark JCM as well. Twin Cedars is the applicant and the property owner. At this point, they also anticipate being the builder and the developer of this particular project. This project is 64.34 acres of land, and it is near Roxana. Here is Zion Church Road. Here is Route 54. We've got Americana Bayside down here. Here is the property. Right next to the property is the Hampton Park Mobile Home Park. Here's this Deer Run Acres, Derrickson, the hamlet at Derrickson Pond. Excuse me, it's right here. Currently existing on the property are three apartment buildings. You may have seen them if you've driven down Route 54 before. You take a look at tab 18 in your booklet, too. You'll see the apartment buildings. There are three large apartment buildings. There's approximately 50 apartments that are in there right now. All of them are vacant with the exception of one. There's a caretaker that actually resides in that particular apartment. They were moved to the site from Ocean City, Maryland. So they weren't actually built there, but they were moved there, I believe, in the 70s or the 80s, they were moved. The thought is that if this development is approved, that the existing apartment buildings would be demolished, and it would actually be used. We talked to the Roxana Fire Company, and they would use it as a training event for the folks that are the members, and they're looking forward to it, we understand. What Twin Cedars would like to do is they would like to build 120 multifamily units, which would be apartments or condos, 45 townhomes, 34 duplexes, and there is also, would like to put two commercial buildings on the commercial portion of the property, which brings me to a discussion of the zoning, what we'd like to do, because that's a little bit complicated. Right now, the property is zoned GR and C1. Here is Mount Zion, Zion Church Road. Here, if you see this little red line, everything to the, I guess, to the right of this red line is right today is C1. Everything to the left of the line today is GR. What these two applications do together is they change that line. They change the location of this line. So instead, we would have a piece of property where this becomes CR1, and this area in the blue, bluish green, becomes GRRPC. So what we've actually done is we would be changing a combination of GR and C1 to GRRPC, and a combination of GR and C1 to CR1. The total acreage of GRRPC would be 58.55 acres. Originally, that was 61.82 acres, so it's a little bit less. And C1 goes from 2.52 acres to 5.79 acres, and I'll tell you how we get to that. With when we take the C1 up here, move it to this section of the property as well, that's the 2.52 current C1 zoning. With an RPC, you're able to have an additional 1 acre of commercial for every 100 dwelling units. Here we're talking about 199 dwelling units, or just about 2 acres of commercial. That still leaves us with an additional 1.28 acres of commercial that we would like to have rezoned to CR1 for a number of reasons. The biggest one being when you see how we have needed to change the tax ditch on this property, it makes a lot more sense to continue this piece here as C1 as opposed to trying to have residential zone and have to have it jump over the tax ditch, which is going to be a problem. Also, it makes the C1 parcel here a lot more viable because we've lost this frontage up front. We're having to make it up quite a bit in the back with parking and whatnot. Let's go back, if we could, to the very first exhibit we had. I want to talk about how this is consistent with the area. This large area here is all currently zoned GR. This is all GR zoned property. There are a number of other RPCs in the area as well. Here we have an HR RPC, that's the Ashley Manor. Here is an MR RPC, that's Swan Cove. There's another MR RPC here, which is Arrington Woods. And there's an AR RPC up here, which is Dock Properties. So the ability to make this into an RPC in this particular portion, I think, is very consistent with what's going on in the area. The pink that you see throughout the property and up and down Zion Church Road is, and over here as well, is current commercial zone property.
Is it C1 or B?
Scott, can you recall whether it's C1 or B? I mean, I believe Ms. Deaver asked. This is B. This has just recently been rezoned from, I think this was a... it was C1, I think it's now B1, mm-hmm. out in front of Deer Run and Hampden Park. But the rest of it, these I know are C1.
Mm-hmm. Most of them are C1.
Okay.
The future land use has the GR portion of this property is currently listed as a mixed residential, which is... as you know, allows for the full range of housing types they believe are appropriate. The entire property, however, is part of the environmentally sensitive developing district, which, as you've heard, this will be the third time this afternoon, is recognized as a growth area and desirable for housing. Retail and office use is appropriate with a careful mix. This whole, the property, as well as this area here, is all part of now the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. Artesian Water will be supplying public water to the site. You have their willingness to serve letter in your booklet at tab 14. Route 20, or the Zion Church Road here, is known as a major collector road by a DLDOT. I bring all this up to you because it's in complete contradiction to the state strategies, which has this as a level 4. This is one of these instances where the classification within the state strategies is very much at odds with what actually exists on the field, because you have a level 4 state strategies. This whole area is level 4 that is already zoned GR with public water, with public sewer, and located along a major collector road. I don't know what more else you need in order to take that out of a level 4 classification. And even in the State Planning Office latest letter, they sent one to us back in 2008, it had said that they recognize that there is an inconsistency here, that however, until the state strategies map is currently being updated, and until it is updated, that's their position and they're sticking to it, it's a level 4. So if you take a look at the comments that go back and forth between State Planning Office on this property and the presentations that we give to them, you'll see a lot of their comments are based on, I mean, the very basic fact, this is a level 4, we don't want development there. This has been a long time coming. I mentioned to you, take a look at the plus comments. There are a lot of them. We started this back in May of 2006. Did a presentation before plus. There were 224 units at the time. They had sent comments back to us. We revised it, took it back to plus 2 years later, May of 2008. They had more comments. We revised. We did not take it back to them again. We've only been back to plus twice. But they did supply different additional comments to us in November of 2009. Based on those additional comments, you have the plan that's in front of you here tonight. And as Mr. Lank had said, there was a 10-day waiting period on those comments, and they haven't submitted anything back since then. A minute about, you know, how we're going to proceed with the rest of the hearing. Recognizing that the CR1 will need a site plan. This is just a zoning change. We're not going to go heavy into the details of exactly what the developer would like to put there. I will tell you that the thought process right this time, which is a very strong thought process, is two commercial buildings totaling approximately 38,175 square feet. The remainder of the property, though, the GRRPC, since that will be treated as a preliminary plan approval, we're going to be going into the whole addressing of the 99-9C elements, and those are in specifically laid out for you and discussed in the executive summary in your book. I'm not going to go through those today, each individual one as they're laid out, but they will all be incorporated into the presentation. This plan has gone on so long, it's like that joke, and how long has it gone? This plan has gone on for so long that when we first started it, Mr. Rudy was working for McCrone. He is now working for Landmark JCM. He's had the historical knowledge on much of the changes that have happened with respect to the plan. And Mr. Scott Asia has put together the plan for us tonight. So it was appropriate for us to kind of have both of them come up and do different sections of the engineering so you have an historic perspective of where we come from as well. So at this time, I'd like for Mr. Scott Asia to come forward, please. Can you state your name and occupation for the record?
Yes, I'm Scott Asia with McCrone Incorporated. I'm vice president of the company, and I'm a licensed professional engineer in Delaware.
Did you generate the preliminary plan in the exhibit book this evening?
Yes, I did.
Can you walk us through the GRRPC portion of the plan at this point?
Yes, let's put the exhibit up.
The colored, I believe. Yes.
Heath, you want to assist me? There's a three-story, 20-unit apartment condominium-type buildings that are planned for it, and there's 45 townhouse units, and there are 34 duplexes. They're up to three bedrooms, and maximum height will be up to 42 feet, so we'll stay within zoning. We comply with zoning. As far as the number of units are concerned, we have 228 units in the GRRPC.
Hold on for a second.
Total.
What is the, let's back up. We don't have 228. The maximum allowable
Maximum allowable is 228. We have 199 units in here.
Okay. And what would the density be on that?
Density is 3.4 dwelling units per acre. That's gross. And when you subtract out the other items, you have about 3.8 net.
Okay. Does the plan meet the parking and setback requirements of the code?
Yes, it does.
And how much open space is planned?
We have open space in both the GRRPC and the CR1, a total of 37.8 acres, which is approximately just a hair under 60% of the site.
Did you include parking lots in that calculation?
I don't believe so.
Okay. You didn't, but did you?
Yeah.
Do you have any particular amenities other than the open space?
Yes. That's
go ahead.
Not the next thing on the list here. Amenities we have on here, I went into these in detail. We've got a clubhouse here. And along with the clubhouse, we have two pools. There's an adult and child pool. There's also a multi-use court, which is approximately the size of a tennis court type. And then next to that, there's also an area for, I guess you'd call it a jumping type thing, a type area where you can put various equipment in there. In addition, we've also provided an open space for a field type play of different sports that kids might want to use.
Can you talk about the buffers? What are the buffers?
Sure, buffers. We've exceeded all the regulations as far as buffers are concerned. On this west side, we have a 50-foot buffer, and on this side, you'll notice it's kind of a two-layered buffer here. One's the tax ditch, it's there currently, but in addition to that, we provided a 30-foot buffer. Both are wooded. Of course, the tax ditch wooded buffer today may disappear if the construction, or I mean reconstruction of the tax ditch, however, it's mature wood.
Is there a maintenance easement for the ditch?
Yes, that is that.
Within the wooded area?
Yes, that's correct. Then the 50-foot buffer also extends along the rest of the site here. On the back, we have a forest conservation area. We're maintaining the wooded area there. It's about 16 acres. You'll also notice there's some mature trees in there that we're trying to maintain. And then along the front, we have we're back the 60-foot requirement plus 10-foot widening for the DLDOT requirements, and then a 15-foot easement for future, I guess, multimodal type path.
Is it 404 in the back where the woods are? Is that any 404 back there?
Keith Rudy's going to go into a lot of detail about all the environmental issues.
Keith and Amy from JCM. Are the sidewalks and streetlights provided?
Yes, they are.
And who'll be providing the fire service?
It's going to be Roxana Fire Company that's there.
It's the same company that's going to be hopefully doing the controlled burn on the building. Which school district is this development in?
Indian River School District.
And is the project to be phased?
Yes, there'll be four different phases to it. If you look on the set of plans that are in your book, the large plans that shows the four phases of the project.
It would be page 6 of the preliminary plan if you actually want to show those.
Play Vanna for me, I appreciate it. Four phases, the first phase being the commercial area. Second phase being the condominiums or apartment area. Third phase being the townhouse, and then townhouses along with the amenities. And fourth phase being the duplex units. House plan currently in the phase.
All right, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
I'd like to bring up Mr. Keith Rudy.
Good afternoon.
Can you state your name and occupation for the record, please?
My name is Keith Rudy. I'm a licensed professional engineer in Delaware.
And you've been involved with this project for how long?
4 years.
There have been some significant plans, changes to the plan since it was first proposed. The biggest plan change is the realignment of the tax ditch. Can you walk us through where it currently exists, where we want it to exist, and why?
If it
pleases the council. The original tax ditch, there are two main prongs related to this property. One prong on Mr. Long's property breaks away from their joining and comes along this lower section, the eastern property line. Therein is the 80-foot right-of-way already dedicated and designated by Genrec for servicing that prong. Continues south to through Mr. Long's property. On the other side of the bifurcation, along the front of this property, basically coincident with the commercial, the existing C1 zoning, and right behind the existing apartment buildings, you have this tax ditch also. Continues up parallel to Zion Church Road, past and behind two existing residences, and then connects and services the Hamden Park subdivision, which is recorded and in various stages of construction. The concept behind relocating the tax ditch was related to analyzing and realizing a couple of key factors. One is the presence of this tax ditch with the newly associated right-of-way. I believe it was on the order of, I would say, if I can recall correctly, approximately 200 feet associated with that main prong. Made development or utilization of this frontage portion of the property very problematic. Second issue is a portion of this existing tax ditch had been filled or altered and modified through the use of a pipe just behind these houses and to about here. So from approximately here to about here, that tax ditch system had been altered. So in terms of its ability to service and provide proper function from the Hamden Park area through the site, rendering problematic use of the existing commercially zoned area along the frontage, the idea was how can we incorporate a possible relocation and yield some benefit from it, both from a water quality standpoint, from a water quantity or management standpoint, and also from How can we better economize or better use the available frontage? So the concept was basically to relocate this tax ditch to approximately the center of the existing cleared or currently farmed area. The uniqueness of this bifurcation allows us to essentially relocate where that tax ditch connects to the system allows us to redirect through minor reworking up in Hamden Park to give them a viable relief. Now, the Hamden Park property or Hamden Park subdivision does not have any provision for stormwater management. So during our discussions with DENREC and the tax ditch folks, one consideration is that this main ditch section now would provide adequate storage, adequate conveyance and capacity to help alleviate some of the drainage problems that will be encountered up at Hamden Park. Now, why haven't the drainage problems at Hamden Park really been at the forefront as of yet? Well, again, if you look at where they're developing up here. These lots are in fee simple. They are owned right now, but not yet constructed. And the location of that ditch affects a good portion of these lots. If these lots had been developed and or occupied, the viability of this existing pipe, that this area would be very problematic, and it would be, I guarantee you, you would have received numerous complaints about the inadequate drainage to this area. So the relocation of this ditch does several things. One is it allows us or affords us the opportunity to utilize this frontage, valuable frontage on a main thoroughfare, allows us to provide adequate capacity and conveyance from an existing subdivision with no stormwater management provisions, allows us to actually create a corridor, the opportunity to reforest this and create a corridor to provide connectivity through the different properties. And it's not a stream restoration project of 100 or 200 feet. This connector, by relocating this, we actually get to have a positive impact on the upper third of the Baston Branch watershed draining to Dirksen Pond. So looking at all the positives, this was a win-win-win.
In other words, the Conservation District approves of it and doesn't have any problem with this relocation, because we don't approve any of this. We just ask for their...
Understood. My idea was to relay the thought process behind the relocation.
Okay, but they're on...